All rise. The Honorable Chief Justice and Justices of the Supreme Court of Ohio. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment.
You may be seated. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case is 2014-0164, Adam Stewart versus the Board of Education of Lachlan School District. For the appellant, Mr. McGraw.
Thank you, Chief Justice O'Connor, and may it please the court, I'd like to reserve 3 minutes of my time for rebuttal. A public employee who has a constitutional right to a due process hearing prior to being terminated can demand public deliberations at it under the Open Meetings Act, and a public body must honor the employee's demands. At his August 23rd due process hearing, Adam Stewart made two such demands. Lachlan ignored both and deliberated on his continued employment during two executive sessions, eventually emerging to pass a resolution terminating his contract. Because this resolution resulted from deliberations which were conducted in violation of the Open Meetings Act, it is invalid. Therefore, the First District decision affirming summary judgment in Lachlan's favor must be reversed. In support of his positions, Mr. Stewart would like to make the following 2 points. First, in Matheny, this court examined the Open Meetings Act and held that while it did not provide an independent basis for a hearing, where one was elsewhere provided by law, a public employee could demand public deliberations at it. Alternatively, in the event that this court believes that Matheny applies only when a public employee has a statutory right to a hearing, it is incumbent upon this court, I believe, to expand the public deliberation, personnel deliberation exception to include instances where a public employee has either a statutory or constitutional right to a hearing.
Counsel, what about Loudermill requires public deliberation?
Nothing in Loudermill requires public deliberation, Your Honor. Loudermill is simply the mechanism through which a public employee can demand public deliberations under the Open Meetings Act.
So you want more than Loudermill?
I don't think we want anything more than Loudermill, and we're not suggesting that Mr. Stewart's Loudermill rights were in any way violated in this case. We're simply saying that his entitlement to a constitutional hearing prior to the board terminating his contract, that right enables him to demand public deliberations at it under the Open Meetings Act.
Where does that right emanate from?
I'm sorry?
Where is the right? How does it emanate?
Simply having the right to a hearing enables him to utilize
the constitutional due process right you're claiming, or where is the source of it?
The source of the hearing itself is through the due process constitutional right. The source of the openness of the hearing itself and the deliberations, that comes from the Open Meetings Act.
So did Mr. Stewart have an opportunity to present anything to the board in the open meeting or not?
He did.
What exactly did he present?
He presented his defense of the allegations that were made against him.
Was that a hearing?
That was his Loudermill hearing, yes, Your Honor.
So he had it?
He had a hearing, but the Open Meetings Act enables him to demand that deliberations at that hearing be done publicly rather than during an executive session.
So once the hearing was concluded, they went into an executive session, and that's what you're objecting to.
Correct, Your Honor. They actually went into two executive sessions.
Is that the limited issue you're bringing to us? The deliberations must be conducted in public?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
And you don't think that's covered by Matheny, our decision in Matheny?
I believe that it is. I think that the language in Matheny that says elsewhere provided by law encompasses the Loudermill due process hearing. I think the important point...
So elsewhere provided by law is the law of Loudermill.
Correct.
And wouldn't that then apply to every proceeding, and anyone could claim it, and so now all deliberations are public. Is that your view?
Anyone who has a due process right prior to being terminated, yes, could utilize the Open Meetings Act as a
So from now on, if we agree with your position, then all deliberations will always all be in public because of Loudermill.
No, I think
that's
that...
That's what you're arguing.
And if that's what I've suggested, I apologize. The right is there to be a limited right for the employee. So the personnel exception is solely at the disclosure of the employee. If the employee wishes...
Counsel, to get to the foundation of what you're saying, are you suggesting that a public employee has a property interest in his employment?
Yes, absolutely. And that property interest entitles him under the Open Meeting Act to demand the public deliberations. It's the public deliberations and personnel exception is meant to be a limited right for an employee rather than a broad right for public bodies.
Aren't you running contrary to public Ohio law, though, when you say the right to your job is a property interest?
I don't believe so. I think that in Local 4501, this court held that a public employee has a property interest in their continued employment.
Counsel, when you talk about due process rights, though, don't we talk about notice and the opportunity to be heard? That's what due process is basically about, correct?
Correct.
And here we had the notice to your client. We had his ability to be heard, to ability to have evidence presented. It's the executive session, the deliberations portion of the statute. That's what we're talking about.
That is exactly what we're talking about.
But aren't you kind of turning it around to say that the employee has a right to have an executive session put in an open meeting? Isn't that what you're saying?
I think that the Open Meetings Act entitles him to do just that.
Where in the statute? What's the language in the statute that you're relying on to say that? Because I see it the opposite way, that if there's an objection made, we're not really talking about a demand, or in other words, if an employee asks for something, the committee may determine we'll put this on the record and so on. But it doesn't sound like the statute prevents executive sessions. That's what I wonder what you're relying on.
In G1 of the statute, there's specific language that a public body can go into executive session unless the public employee requests a public hearing. That's the language,
That's the public hearing. That's not public deliberations.
No, but subsection
A. But you want us to expand it, and as you said in your opening remarks, that even if we agree statutorily it's not provided for, we should expand it to allow for this.
Subsection A, I think, of the statute itself requires that public decisions and deliberations be made, exactly that, publicly.
They may be made, but no, it provides for, Section 121.22 actually provides for executive session, does it not?
It does. However, the default rule under the Open Meetings Act is for it to be liberally construed in favor of openness.
Okay, let me just take you a little step further. If it were conducted as you are suggesting it should be, and they're in executive session, what role would your client have at executive session?
He would have absolutely no role.
He would just sit there and have to listen. He would have no ability to contribute.
In the executive sessions would be strictly for the deliberation part of the due process hearing.
So what's the compelling reason for us to then expand this right to this option to your client?
One of the strengths, I think, of American government is for the public to know and understand the reason behind the decisions that their elected officials make.
Well, is there a record being taken of the executive session?
No, Your Honor, and I think that's one of the key components to all of this, is that Mr. Stewart had absolutely no idea what the board deliberated on or what they found compelling in his arguments, nor does the public.
And but I think he does have the right to appeal the board's decision, correct?
He does, but and we're not here arguing that he should have his job back. We're strictly arguing that the Open Meetings Act itself was violated during these two executive sessions when the board deliberated on his
continued
employment.
Okay, and so then, say you prevail, and it is then remanded because this was on a summary judgment, correct?
It was.
Then what happens?
I would ask this court to instruct the trial court to do three things. One, to order that the resolution terminating Mr. Stewart's contract was invalid, to issue an injunction ordering the board to comply with the Open Meetings Act, and to grant Mr. Stewart a civil forfeiture of $500. Those are all provided for by subsection I and H of the statute.
And then he has a do-over, in essence, for his termination.
I don't believe there would be a do-over. of the hearing. The resolution itself would be invalidated, though.
Okay, but that doesn't, so you're saying that he gets his job back?
He would not get his job back. I don't believe the statute, I don't believe the Open Meetings Act provides for a return to his position. Well,
Suppose we send it back to the board and said, okay, conduct your deliberations in public, and then the board comes out at a public meeting and someone says, I vote to terminate. Agree. That's what you want? Then it's over?
We would want the deliberations to be held publicly, yes.
All it would take is a motion of one member and votes by the others, and then that would be the end of it.
But I think one of the important points is that the public and Mr. Stewart would both understand the justification and reasons.
Well, not necessarily, because as Justice O'Donnell is saying, they go into executive session. Do I hear a motion? A motion's offered, and any discussion? None? All in favor? Agreed. Where's the insight that you're searching for?
At the initial point, we would not, if this court were to send it back to the trial court and instruct Lachlan to comply with the Open Meetings Act, there would be no executive session. That hearing would be, all of that would be done publicly.
I guess I'm a little confused here in the remedy that you're seeking, because are you suggesting that if the employer invalidates the order of termination, has he been employed, therefore, forward to this day?
I would argue yes, but I don't believe the statute supports that. I think the statute simply, in subsection 8, requires the trial court to invalidate the resolution. I don't think it entitles him to.
But if you have an employee who has a job and there's a resolution to terminate that job, you're asking this court to invalidate that termination.
Yes, and I note the inherent.
So isn't he employed this afternoon, right now?
He would not be currently employed unless this court were to order. He would not be employed even if this court were to order and grant judgment in our favor. It would simply go back to the trial court, and then he has appeal rights under Chapter 33 of the revised code to get his job back itself.
He has that now, though, correct?
He does. And we're not here on an issue of whether or not he can get his job back. It's strictly whether or not the Open Meetings Act was violated at his hearing. And we would submit that it has been. If there are no further questions, I'd reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you. Ms. Davis?
Thank you, and may it please the court. My name is Kate Davis, and I am here today on behalf of Lachlan Local School District, located in Cincinnati, Ohio. The appellant here is arguing that the court should revisit and change longstanding precedent of Matheny versus Frontier Local School District that was decided in 1980. However, there's no reason to change Matheny, and in fact, the First District Court of Appeals applied it correctly to the facts of this case. In Matheny, the court carefully examined the exception that we're talking about, which is found in G1 of the Open Meetings Act, and looked at the phrase, unless a public employee requests a public hearing, and carefully examined the statutory language and determined that at the time the exception was enacted, there were existing statutes on the books, particularly 3319.16, which is a teacher termination statute, and it actually has the phrase public hearing in the statute for teacher
termination. Counsel, if I may, I guess what I'm confused by this morning is that the Local 4501 of the communications workers, that mm-hmm. case was versus Ohio State, said they have a property right. Before you can take away a property right, by the way, that's my former local, I want you to know, so if you need me to excuse myself, we'll consider it. However, it seems to me that stands for the proposition before you can take a person's job away, they're entitled to due process. And as Justice Lansinger has said, due process says a right to be heard in a meaningful way. And your opposing counsel seems to be saying you can't go behind closed doors and comply with due process. How do you feel about that?
I respectfully disagree with his take on it, because I believe here due process was met. And I think Mr. Stewart hasn't argued with that in their brief. I think both sides agreed that his Loudermill rights were complied with. Their argument is that the executive session was wrong, but I don't think that they're arguing that he was denied due process, because all due process requires is notice, explanation of the evidence, opportunity to present your side of the story, and that all happened at this public board meeting. Typically, I'd say probably more often than not, Loudermill hearings, it's kind of a term of art, but they are often held by an administrator, in a school district setting at least. It's often a principal or a superintendent, calling in, let's say it's a bus driver or a custodian who is alleged to have done something wrong. They'll be called into that administrator's office. They probably have their union representative with them. The administrator lays out, these are the allegations, and then they talk about it, and the employee gets a chance to respond.
But you understand that you stand here today representing all public employers in Ohio, essentially, because if we were to find that was an invalid determination, my simple mind just follows me to the point where that person is still employed today if he was invalidly terminated. That's a problem, is it not?
Yes. I agree, and that's a big risk here if the court would find that the board violated the Open Meetings Act, because again it would fundamentally shift what Loudermill means. I mean, there's nothing in Loudermill that requires any of this to be public. So if you read something into Loudermill that says it does need to be public, that's changing what public bodies all across the state have relied on for decades.
Ms. Davis, are you saying that a public hearing can still have an executive session?
Yes, and that's what happened
and
here.
And what is the purpose of the executive session, in your view?
The executive session was to deliberate about the decision. In this case, Mr. Stewart and his counsel were able to present. I think media was invited to the hearing, to the board meeting where he spoke. The executive session was for the sole purpose of deliberating about his employment.
So if we could analogize, if it's like a jury trial, the jury goes back into the room, deliberates, comes back, and renders its verdict.
Correct. I would agree with that. And then the board votes in public. And then that is what the board would have to adopt a resolution, which it did here, to terminate, laying out exactly why. And that's what is then appealed to court if the employee so chooses. And at that point, the employee would have the ability, both sides would have the ability to ask the trial court to enter further exhibits, other evidence, that kind of thing. So the trial court can basically hear it de novo if it chooses to.
Counsel, I'm stuck back on an earlier comment that you made that these hearings typically are just in front of an administrator. Mm-hmm. What's public about that if you get called into the superintendent's office or the principal's office and said, here's the charges, what do you say? That doesn't strike me as a public hearing. That's not what happened here.
Right. You're exactly right. Yeah.
But you're saying that would
legal.
Also be?
I would say that that Loudermill doesn't require it to be public. So my comment earlier about that it often is in an administrator's office, that's legal because Loudermill doesn't require it to be more than that. So the fact that the board had a public hearing here, they exceeded what Loudermill required, but they didn't violate Loudermill in any way.
Well, the board's public hearing in this instance emanated from the request of Mr. Stewart's counsel. Did
Correct.
It not?
Yes.
And it was in compliance with, is it G1, where public, if the employee requests a public hearing? Is that what happened here?
It wasn't under G1, but they did, that is what precipitated them inviting him and his counsel to the board meeting, was that he wanted to do it that way. And so they figured, we will allow you, but we don't have to do that, but we will allow you to come to the public board meeting to present your side of the story.
All right.
But we still retain our right as the board to
deliberate.
And
then if I understand the argument that's presented by Mr. McGraw, he claims that if the hearing is otherwise provided by law, then he is entitled to the public deliberation. What is your response to that argument? That he's arguing it's otherwise provided by law by virtue of the Loudermill decision.
I think it's taking a phrase out of Matheny, out of context, is my take on that, because there's a phrase in Matheny, there's the paragraph where the court explains what I started talking about, that when G1 was adopted, there were the statutes on the books. That's why they put it in that way. But later the court says that's why the exception means the employee has to have this other public hearing right provided by law. Again, I would say that has to be an independent right to a public hearing. So I think it's just being taken out of context by Mr.
And according Stewart. To the appellate decision in paragraph 14, it says that 3319081, which governs Stewart's employment, does not authorize a non-teaching employee to request a public pre-termination hearing. And so that negates the underpinnings to a public hearing, according to the Court of Appeals in their interpretation of that statute, and further says, nor was Stewart otherwise statutorily entitled to a pre-termination hearing. So even if you want to read Matheny the expansive way that your opposing counsel would like us to, you still don't have the underpinnings here.
Right, because there's not an independent right to a public hearing.
Right.
At most, even if you expanded it to say that otherwise provided by law includes Loudermill, that still doesn't get him to the crux of the matter, that Loudermill is not public, and that's fatal to the argument.
But doesn't Judge DeWine in the Court of Appeals' decision raise a very important public policy question? He seems troubled by the fact that, you know, the board wants to go into executive session so they can get to the meat and potatoes and really discuss this case. Right? That's why they go into executive session.
Mm-hmm.
And the person who's, if you'll excuse the phrase, ox is being gored, is out there saying, I have a right to be there. Why don't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think there are two responses to that. One is, you know, with all due respect to Judge DeWine, I think he was not looking carefully at how public hearing is defined, as we've just discussed, because it does mean something specific. But to really get to your point as to, you know, why not, right? Why, you know, why not let
the real hearing is happening behind closed doors.
Right. So, and the response to that is, you know, Mr. Stewart's rights are, you know, one half of the equation, but there are other considerations that a board may have that they may want to be able to deliberate in executive session. Often, employment decisions are not made in a vacuum. So, yes, they may be talking about employee A, but I can talk about this case specifically. For an example, there were three employees in the district who were under fire, essentially, for the issue at hand, which was, for lack of a better term, data scrubbing. And two of the employees, including Mr. Stewart, demanded public hearing. They wanted everything public. The third did not. And the facts were intertwined. So the board would have had to have discussed the third employee, you know, while they're deliberating about Mr. Stewart. So that's just an example. But there are other reasons, you know, besides the immediate situation. Another example would be often if a board is in executive session about an employment matter, they may be saying, you know, if we terminate employee A, is employee B really ready to take over? And so then they're going to be talking about that person's employment history. That person certainly didn't want that discussed at a public hearing. So, you know, so that kind of issue. There are other employee rights at stake.
So you're saying that the employee that is the subject here, Mr. Stewart, really, it's not just about him.
Right, and because there the board employs, right, many employees, and there are many factors involved, and so they have interests that may be beyond just the immediate situation.
Ms. Davis, if we agree with you, is there anything beyond Matheny that we need to write?
I'm not sure I understand the question, Your Honor.
Does Matheny cover this issue, in your view?
Yes. I think Matheny...
Well, if we've already written it in Matheny, what should we write here?
That Matheny stands, and that it means that a public employee may only demand that a board or a public body deliberate in public on an employment decision if that public employee has a statutory right to a public hearing.
Counsel, on G1 of the statute, 121.22, G1, how do we read the section that says the members of a public body may go into executive session, mm-hmm. and then except if the public employee requests a public hearing? If you look at the language, how do we get around that? It sounds like if there's a request for a public hearing by the employee, the public body does not go into executive session. That's different than the Matheny situation, and I thought that's what Mr. McGraw was arguing here.
Well, Your Honor, I would say it is the same. It is what Matheny covered, because when they looked at that phrase, unless the public employee requests a public hearing, they said that means something specific. It has to, because the legislature only used that word a couple times in the whole statute. It means something specific. So, and it means, because when G1 was drafted, the legislature wanted it to conform to these pre-existing statutes.
But did Matheny specifically home in on the executive session part of the statute?
I believe it did, yeah, because the teachers in that case demanded public deliberations. And deliberations, they may have not called it executive session. I think they referred to deliberations.
We should use it as total precedent.
Yeah, but I think in practice, public deliberations, it means the same thing as here, where it's it was an executive session.
Counsel, if we can go back to Justice O'Donnell's question about Matheny, don't we have to say something about what Matheny means now that we have Loudermill? I mean, some of the underpinnings in Matheny aren't the same anymore. So don't we at least have to conform Matheny to Loudermill?
I don't think Loudermill does change Matheny, because it's not, I mean, you could certainly address Loudermill in that to say that because Loudermill does not require anything to be public, it's not a right to a public hearing, therefore it doesn't change the outcome of Matheny. So that's how I would address it.
So we change some of the analysis, but not the outcome.
Yeah, because I don't think it would, if Loudermill existed when Matheny was decided, I think Matheny would have come out the same way.
Is the background of this, you said the underlying issue was data scrubbing, and one might presume that the computer guy for the district doesn't come up with that on his own. So is part of his desire to have this open that the superintendent, who maybe suggested a little data scrubbing, is in the closed meeting and he isn't?
Well, in this case, to speak to the specific facts, the superintendent was another employee who was being terminated.
Right.
So she was not, she would not have been in the
room,
meeting.
In the room.
Mm-hmm. No, she would not.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Mr. McGraw, you've saved about 3 minutes and 23 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. Matheny predates a recognition of property interests possessed by public employees. Unlike the non-tenured teachers in Matheny, Adam Stewart had a property interest in his continued employment. And while the Matheny case does reference statutory language, at the time, those were the only types of hearings available to public employees. Mr. Stewart's due process hearing is a hearing that exists elsewhere at law. The Open Meetings Act entitles him to demand public deliberations at it. The evident purpose behind the personnel exception, as Judge DeWine correctly noted, is to protect the public employee. It's intended to be a limited right for public employees, not a broad right for public bodies. If Mr. Stewart has no problems airing and hearing the justifications for his termination, the public body has no basis.
What about the concerns for co-workers and other members of the employment structure that will have to be discussed in ways that may or may not be complementary to them in order to resolve the case?
I think that's very easy to get around. I think if there are certain public employees who do not wish that their name be discussed in public, just as we do with students and did with students at this public hearing, you can create an index for only those members who are on the board, as an example, an index saying employee number one equals, you know, this person. Employee number two is this person, so that the board is able to publicly discuss.
So the board is speaking in code in their deliberations with regard to employees, other employees. Is that what you're saying?
The employees who have not requested public deliberations, because on what we suggest and what we're advocating for is that each public employee possesses the right to demand public deliberations. It's not a right that the public body gets gets to take. It's the public employee's right to demand public deliberations.
So at these public deliberations, you would envision things like commenting on the credibility of the witnesses that were proffered to the at the hearing?
Necessarily, if that is part of it, yes. But Loudermill itself doesn't require an evidentiary hearing for that purpose. I mean, it's could be complied with in lesser ways.
What kind of hearing did your client, Mr. Stewart, have?
He simply presented to the board. The board asked no questions. They made no comments.
He just stood up and read a statement to the board.
Our office presented Mr. Stewart's position, yes.
So you represented him as his counsel at this hearing?
My co-counsel did, yes.
Okay. And would you envision that you would sit in at the as his lawyer, or your co-counsel would sit in on the deliberations along with Mr. Stewart?
The entire public would sit in on the deliberations. The deliberations.
Oh, so you would have this open entirely to the public, not just your client, for his interest.
Correct. And I would simply like to conclude, Your Honors, by saying that the Open Meetings Act is clear. If a public employee has a constitutional or statutory right to a hearing, the Open Meetings Act entitles him or her to demand public deliberations at it. Thank you.
We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision.